This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. And thanks to OnDeck for supporting the morning stream. Are you a small business owner in need of capital today? Well, OnDeck can help. With over $10 billion in loans and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, OnDeck is a lender you can trust. Find out more at ondeck.com/stream. Coming up on TMS, the toothpick strikes again.
Sorry about the toilet paper, Canada.
Nice catch. That was good.
Yeah.
Then I will have to take the golf ball.
You can eat that meat just fine.
Son, you might want to get licked to death. No, you might get licked to death.
Oh, I don't know. Leave one in there. Major spoilers.
Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
So when someone in your family has fever of a cold or flu, take your doctor's advice. Reduce that fever with aspirin. Remember, Bayer aspirin for adults and for children is the best aspirin the world has ever known.
So are they offended by what they see in the sex shop windows and outside the cinemas?
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's February 25th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. Hello.
2018-19. Got that date just right. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you got that Oster stink off of you over from last night. And, you know, back to your normal week. We got a Monday here going on. And I can't believe it's already Monday again. I feel like time is just racing past me at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
I don't like it. My back hurts. I stepped in a big dog
and
poo.
And those kids are too loud.
Yeah, and those kids are too loud. And I stepped in a big dog poo this morning while I was out walking Rainer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it wasn't her poo either. It was some other dog.
Well, yeah, because you clean up after Rainer.
Damn
you,
straight.
This is some schmuck who doesn't clean up after themselves.
That's right. I even have on the little handle for the leash, I have two bags tied to it at all times. Mm. So if I need to use one, I have a bag and I just pull it off of there and I'm good. If I use both bags, I'll stop at a bag station and take a couple more and tie them to the thing. I'm sure. Never without a bag is the point. But yeah,
we got a little black capsule thing that clips onto the leash and it's filled with like a little roller, like a roller of a bunch of little bags.
We have that too, but I never think to grab it and use it.
And oh, really? Yeah, it's just permanently attached. Well, not permanently. I mean, basically, we tied a knot in the leash and then had the thing cut through it. Oh, look at this. Amazon has parked in front of my house. Are they delivering to me or delivering to the people across the street? You know, I used to think that I got a lot of stuff from Amazon.
Yeah.
Going across the street. Seeing how many things the people across the street get. It's like, wow, okay. Amazon, if you're looking for a second distribution facility, you should probably just put it right there and save yourself a bunch of driving.
Is that is it an actual marked Amazon truck?
Well, it's the one that they use. Let me see. I think it is. No, it's like deliver.com, but it's like the colors of the Amazon logo, the black and orange.
Okay.
It's not UPS anymore. It's like...
That's them using Amazon. That's them showing Amazon, hey, we're look at us. We're awesome.
Totally. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's like wearing your mega hat to a rally.
Well, wearing a red hat to a rally that maybe doesn't say mega, but still says, I kind of support you, but I've got my own thing going.
Yeah, I'm kind of here for the fringe benefits of association. Exactly.
I might support another candidate that also likes the color red,
Amazon,
but right now.
Yeah, Amazon, you're the biggest shipper right now, but if someone's bigger, we're cool with you too, whoever you are. Come on in.
Exactly, exactly.
We'll chameleonize ourselves. Hey, I had a funny thing happen over the dumb weekend.
I would hope so.
Which overall is kind of a dumb weekend. We've gone long with this floor stuff. The guy who's doing it needed two extra days. It was supposed to be done Saturday. So,
and he showed up late on Friday. Like, I heard the audio you played for me. Like, you recorded just your ambient room noise, and it was like,
oh, it was horrible. We couldn't. That's why we couldn't do a show on the PM. Yeah. It was so loud, you guys. Like, there was a little bit of this on There Will Be Dungeons on Saturday, but not nearly as much. So it was only about 10 minutes worth of a 3-hour show. And I had to keep muting myself, but those people got a real taste of it. Like, it is so, when he's hammering right above me, it's deafening loud. It was horrifying. Yeah. And the way it would have worked Friday, it was that way for the entirety of the show. So I was like, we can't do this. This is a bad, that's a bad idea. We can't have a podcast. So that's why we didn't do one Friday. But just a dumb weekend. You know, there's beds in places they shouldn't be, and there's furniture and rooms they shouldn't be in, and it just sucks. Yeah.
If you feel like your life feels unsettled, disheveled.
Yes, yes. And the dogs are freaking out because they think everything's chaos, and they're probably right. And so everyone's just nuts. Well, anyway, he's back again today. In fact, he's supposed to be here right now. I don't know if I hear him yet. But he's working on the further end of the house, so even if he's banging away, I shouldn't pick it up at all. It's only when he's right there that it's a problem. So anyway, that's happening again today. And then again tomorrow. Again, this was all supposed to end Saturday. I will say he's doing a killer job. Like, it looks amazing.
Oh, good.
It's just all taking longer than he thought. And he's not charging more for the extra time. So, I mean, there's good things about this. Mm-hmm. It's just taking way too long. So, anyway, there's all that. But during all of this on Sunday, we had a very busy Sunday, up and down and all over the place during the day. Didn't get home till about 6. As soon as we did a skim from the house and then jumped into wherever the Oscars were from there and went on. And so... but I had this experience where like a luncheon thing in the afternoon, and part of this thing had like little appetizer style food, a lot of cookies and stuff too, but it was like a lot of little cocktail wieners and meatballs. Perfect. and then lots of toothpicks to like poke into these kind of meats. So I love a good toothpick.
Sure.
I should check now and see if there's not
as
one.
As do all of your orifices.
And as do all the people who ate jambalaya about 3 weeks ago. Anyway. I go in there, I get a toothpick, and I get a bunch of little meats, and I'm eating them with the toothpick. No problem. So are lots of people. Everyone's doing this. But I, in my infinite wisdom, like I always do, I tucked it behind my ear when I was done. You know, Brian, like I did before the jambalaya.
We're all familiar with this this technique of yours.
This is how I hang on to them for a while in case I need it later. I know it's disgusting. It's a habit of mine, whatever. So I put it on my ear like a pencil. And I'm just kind of milling around. And a 12-year-old girl, who just happens to be there, comes around the corner, looks at me, gets this face of horror on her face, and goes, ew! And I go, what do you mean, ew? She goes, ew! And she points at my head. And I'm like, what is the... I don't know what she's talking about. It wasn't clicking with me that she meant the thing. She goes, you have a toothpick on your ear. And I said, oh, yeah, look at this. I took it out and I tried to explain to her. Like, yeah, this is, I'd use these for later, just in case I need it. And as I'm explaining, I realize how stupid this sounds.
Right, yeah.
And how she must just be horrified by this adult man who's got a toothpick behind his ear. So right. I threw it away. I was embarrassed. So sometimes it's a child who teaches us, you know, the right way.
Yes, exactly. Out of the minds of their mouths of babes or something like that. Isn't that the phrase?
Yep.
Kids point and laugh at the darndest things.
They do, don't they?
Good old Art Linkletter.
Yeah. But just know, everyone, I didn't drop it in anyone else's food. I didn't, like, do any of that. But it took a 12-year-old to shame me into taking it off my ear. Brian, you have a thing written here that as soon as I saw it, I got all excited. So do you want to explain what happened here?
Absolutely. So we had our Oscar party last night. Had some friends over. Yeah. And this is the couple that basically we always get together with for the Oscars. Every year, it's like a standing arrangement. We'll cook dinner, have dessert. They'll come over, and I'll have Oscar ballots already on the table. Everybody will fill theirs out. And
nerds.
And then we add, whatever. And then we'll add up our points, and winner sometimes gets a prize.
Curious, is this the only time you see these people once a year, or do you see them other times?
No. We see them throughout the year, but but she is a big celebrity, a fan of the whole world of celebrities. Like, it's probably what you think I am is what really she is.
Well, see, I don't think you're that bad. I think you don't really, you know, like, you're not obsessed with, like, Kardashian.
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah. But we'll, you know, it'll be those long cut shots where they show the audience at the Oscars, and you see the people in the foreground kind of laughing at whatever somebody on stage is saying. But then there's other people in the background. She'll go, oh, Brian, can you go back? Can you go back? I'm like, yeah, sure. And so I go back, pause. And so I hit the pause, like when it's showing one of these crowd scenes. She goes, oh, look, right back there, there's Hugh Jackman. Who's he sitting with? You know, it's like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which is adorable. She loves that sort of thing. And it's why it takes us about 5 hours to go through the 3-hour sure. Oscars telecast. Even with me fast forwarding through commercials and whatnot.
Sure.
So they have a son, and their son is about 6 years old, to the age where he can pretty much keep himself somewhat occupied and busy while we're watching the show. It used to be that basically one of the two parents would able to be to watch the Oscars with us and do this while the other parent, usually the dad, would have to sit over on the other side of the room and play with the kid and say, oh, what just happened? What's going on? Oh, okay, great. Yeah, all right, cool. Who won? Oh, good.
Yeah, it's clear that she is the one. Yeah, I get that split.
The Oscars are for her.
Sure.
Really.
I get it.
So, but this year he was able to hang out with his iPad and get up, go to the bathroom. And he comes back and he's got this look on his face. And he does this thing where he kind of is looking around the room, but then he kind of goes right up to his dad and starts whispering.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can make out is, and it all started coming out. And I'm like, what's going on? Because that bathroom, our guest bathroom, has a long flush. You've got to hold the handle down for a second because the water, it's like a low flow. Sure. It's I hate it.
I know. I do too.
I'm going to replace it as soon as I can.
America, dude. We have bad toilets. It's just the way it is.
And it's my fault because when part of it broke, when Tristan moved out, I got what I thought was going to be a good replacement, and it turned out to be the worst replacement ever of an inner toilet flush system.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, all right, I'm just going to replace this
thing. The Canadians laugh at us, by the way, because they have these power flusher just... they're amazing up there. We suck. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it's one of those where you don't want that thing flushing while you're sitting on the toilet because you feel like it's going to suck your guts out like an airplane toilet.
Yeah, like all those stories we used to hear. Yeah.
But not ours, no. So we hold this thing down. It's like I'm thinking, all right, well, that's probably what the situation is, that he pushed the button down, didn't hold it down long enough. Some of the water came back up, but it's certainly not enough to overflow. And then I hear the hissing noise coming from the bathroom. And so Tina's already up to see what's going on, and his mom is already up to go and see what's going on. She's, Brian, come here. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I go over there. And I forgot about the other thing that we have going on in the spare bathroom, which is the bidet.
Mm.
We have one of those little side bidet attachments. So it's a toilet that did not have a bidet, but it had a third-party attachment built into
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
On the side. He must have thought this was some weird newfangled toilet. Did his business and then hopped off and then turned the knob to full blast and a stream of water, a fountain that the likes of which has been seen in Las Vegas at the Bellagio is shooting out of the top of the toilet and spraying all over the wall, down the wall. The floor is it's a pool.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And so needless to say, the parents are like, oh my God, I'm sorry. They're grabbing towels and mopping up. And it's like, oh, it's totally fine. We're kind of laughing about it. They're feeling totally bad. But I'm just visualizing. I'm hoping that the kid did not turn this thing on while he was sitting on it, because that would have actually shot him off the toilet. But I did notice his hair was all wet. So I think it basically, he's probably looking down in the toilet and turned the knob and this thing in full force in the face.
And it probably scared him, right? He scared him. He got out of there. He just wanted
to. Scared him, but boy, didn't come in the room crying or anything. The toilet just shot me in the face. Shot me in the face.
Shot me in the face. I am cooperating, Wade. Oh, that's awesome. Well, that was fun for you then to deal with that.
That was fun. It was a lot of fun cleaning that mess up.
Yeah. And did you have to do it? I guess you did it during the ceremony, right? You had to.
Yeah, this was during the show.
Yeah.
So we had a little in memoriam segment of the toilet bidet system.
hey, they forgot Ricky J.
I know. As soon as I saw that tweet, oh my God, they totally did. And that one, listen, you get your Burt Reynolds, you definitely get your Stan Lee in there, and you get your Ricky Jay. And I know a lot of other people passed away this year, Margot Kidder and Finney and a few others. But those are the three that most closely connect with the stuff I grew up with.
I just don't think it's hard for them to keep a list. Who's in charge every year? Yeah, every year somebody dies.
Just go to Wikipedia, people who died in 2018. Yeah, and just
famous,
go, all right.
Famous deaths in 2018. That's all you have to do. It's better than your list, apparently. Who's in charge of that? Who's writing this down? Dummies. They jack it up every year. Every year they miss somebody or two or three people or something. And I'm sure there's more than just Ricky Jay. Some other sort of half-knowner.
Well,
you know?
John Florida in 1968 says Carol Channing. I forgot that Carol Channing passed away, but that was like a couple weeks ago, right? It may have been since they created their little iMovie montage. Yeah. But Arlie Ermey, I forgot about. Vern
Troyer.
Should
have been there. How do you not put Arlie Ermey in there?
Okay, right, Vern Troyer.
Vern Troyer was in like one movie though, so maybe they didn't feel all right. Maybe that
he was in all. Well, he was in two of the Austin Powers films.
Yeah, but is that enough? Like, I feel like I've been in at least two Austin Powers movies.
Was he only in those two movies? Didn't they have him like?
He was in some porn or something. He did some other. Well, weird stuff.
Yeah, you can't really count. I guess they're not going to show a clip of that.
Yeah. Ricky, I know some people don't know who Ricky Jay is, Chad. We're not saying that you should know. There's plenty of people don't know. Dick Miller, that's right. Dick freaking Miller, dude.
Dick Miller. Oh, Dunstan checks in. Jingle All the Way. Pinocchio's Revenge. Volcano. Men in Black. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Vern Troyer was in like...
Okay, he got around.
25. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. He was Grip Hook.
He's just hard to see. You know? You're never sure. No, I mean, for real, like, how many times did you know he was in any of those? Probably because he's...
I don't think it's the fact that that you need to see the movie in 4K to make out Vern Troyer.
No, I just mean, like, he's in a costume, or he's covered in makeup, or he's, you know...
Yes, right, yes.
But he's also very small. Dunstan checks in. Is that a movie?
That's a movie.
Oh, my Lord.
It's a monkey or something, I think.
Sure.
Hey, you know what else happened? Because we didn't do a show on Friday, I didn't give my weigh-in update.
How'd you do?
And I am down another 3.2 pounds.
That's
so made
pretty
up for
good.
the two pound fraction weeks and then some.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I'm the lowest weight I've been, since, I don't know, 2012 maybe?
Oh, you were that low in 2012?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. That low in 2012.
Yeah, no, that's great. I, when I was at my lowest, I was at my high school weight in 2015. I was as skinny and weightless as high school, and now, no, not so much. There's basically, I basically have an extra 40-pound 6-year-old attached to me. This is how I think of it.
You'll get it off. I promise you. It'll. You just gotta. We're done with the Oreos. We have no more new Oreos to try for a while.
Yeah.
We're good there.
Yeah.
We're getting to the summer months, spring months, where you can get out there and do stuff outdoors more. And
yeah, I'm excited about it. The only reason I went on the big dog thing this morning is because the temperature is like in the high 40s today.
Oh, nice.
Which we haven't had for a while. It's been super cold. But the wind that was blowing, I was freaking just freezing out there at the wind. It kind of calmed down as I went out there. But Rainbow Bright is right. I need to eat better. You're right. She's not wrong. She's right.
Yeah. That is the whole key to it, you know. Get the, you know, the key for me was two things. It was tracking everything I ate and then seeing that big disgusting list and then having the accountability at the end of every week to go see Justine Bateman and have her tisk me
Does she give you any heat? Like, what do they say if you're
over? She really doesn't. She actually doesn't. Okay. You know, as a matter of fact, the woman who... that's her real name, Justine Bateman. Yeah. AJ usually is over on the side getting ready to give the lecture. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think her name is Jane, is the one who actually does the weigh-in with me. And even on the weeks where I like go up a little bit, she's like, well, you know what? You'll burn that off quick because new fat comes off a lot faster than old fat.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. And it does. It's totally true.
I like that we're learning their names now. This is like a doxing by a thousand cuts. Just
right?
Slowly
yeah,
over
exactly.
time. You go, AJ, we'll get her last name, and then we'll find out what part of town she lives in. And then, That guy,
the director's cut of TMS, where you actually find out the the story behind the story.
There was a guy last night who won the editing award.
Yeah.
During the Oscars, who got up and basically doxed his mom or somebody. Like, he said where he grew up and where his, what his home street was and what town he was in. I'm like, dude.
Mom's name. He doxed his mom. That's funny.
You may as well not, you know, go that much into detail there, buddy. You're a lot of
I don't think it's not like Bradley Cooper out there doing it. I mean, you know, one's going to say, oh, I've been waiting to find out the new, like, the details about that film editor guy. I've been tracing his career for years, and finally I have the dirt.
So did you, okay. The movie you thought would win did, right? Green Book?
Yeah, Green Book. Green Book I expected to win the Oscar, but I also expected Glenn Close. I mean, I had a bunch of mistakes on my pick list. I thought Detainment of the short films, the live-action shorts.
Yeah.
I thought Skin was good, the one that did win. They were all heavy-duty, and I mentioned that on FilmSack, but... Mm. I'll mention it here. For $10 on iTunes, you can see all the live-action shorts and 3 of the 5 animated ones. And come on, let's face it. We all saw Bao when we saw Incredibles 2, so we don't need to see that one again.
Mm-hmm. Nice to see Spider-Verse get the nod it deserved this
year. Yeah, did. I was waiting, at least with Spider-Verse, when they were running down the list of all the people to thank and they were talking about the cast and the crew. I think the last guy got cut off, and I think he was about to say, and we need to give a big thank you to Stan Lee, because I did not hear a Stan Lee thank you. And I totally could be wrong. I may have missed it. But
well, you got the Carrie Fisher shout-out at the very end. That was somebody doing a nerd shout-out. That was cool.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, cool. During the Green Book thing, right at the end.
Oh,
something
yes,
about,
right.
This is dedicated to our friend Carrie Fisher, and then the music started. Which I thought was a little odd, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, Carrie Fisher's great, so talk about her anytime you want, but it just felt like a year too
connection?
Late. Yeah, I don't know what the connection is. It was very strange, but I was happy to see Spider-Verse win. I think it deserved to win in a very thick year of really awesome animated features. I am personally very torn because I loved Incredibles 2 and I loved Isle of Dogs. Isle of Dogs is one of my favorite things I've ever seen. Like, it is such a cool thing. But Spider-Verse deserved it, and I'm glad that it got
really
it.
Really did. It was such a technological achievement.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman, I thought, had the absolute best speech of the night. Basically, she sounded like I would have sounded going up there.
Mm-hmm. She was a hoot. I liked her a lot. Yeah. But for people who don't know who that is, she's, for me anyway, famously in that Hot Fuzz movie. She's the one female cop that's kind of goofy and turns out not to be crazy like the rest of the town.
Right.
But she's the one that kept saying, I'd like to report a murder. Her.
She's great. She's absolutely great. And then call me a big sappy sap, but I loved the Gaga, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper Shallow performance. I thought that was
right.
really, really good.
I was sad he didn't do it as Rocket Raccoon. That would have been cooler. You know, just toting
Tell
a big
me something, girl. Aren't we all Groot in this crazy world?
Get some kind of automatic rifle on his shoulder and
bring me that guy's arm.
Yeah.
I'll keep all the other guardians from harm.
I always feel bad though. Last year, same thing happened to Del Toro when he got Best Picture for Lady Does It with a Fish Man. And he had just broken up with his longtime wife. Like 2 days before. And in Gaga's case, she just broke up with her fiance or whoever that was like 2 days before. Like, man, a little turmoil at home. Nothing works quite like that.
Right. You and I both saw that Gaga documentary though, the 5 foot.
I still haven't watched it.
5'6". Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
I meant
it's
to.
Really, really good. And she ties a lot of her big moments to the breakups that occurred right before them or right around the time of them.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, her breakthrough artist award or whatever she got, and a 5'2". Thank you, Jack Lope Ashley.
We don't want to misrepresent her height, which is what I think that.
No,
references.
That's the name of the documentary.
Yeah, but isn't that referencing her height?
It is referencing her height.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. We don't want to get that number wrong.
Short Lady Gaga. Diminutive Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she's not quite Vern Troyer, but she'll do in a pinch. that was was good. Also, Bradley Cooper. I don't know who Bradley Cooper's wife is, but hubba hubba, what a beautiful lady that is.
Oh, she is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know her name even, but I was like, oh, I was smitten with her. Anyway, it was great. My favorite moment was when Captain America helped that lady up the steps because she got all tangled up in her dress. And he was just being all sweet like Captain America would be. Steve Rogers totally. Just jumping to the thing. It was great.
That was great. Yep. Yeah.
That was probably my favorite moment. The rest of it kind of is just a lot of self-flagellating, congratulatory insider stuff that's, you know, it solves... I was talking to somebody on Twitter about this. Somebody says, I don't understand why the Oscars even exist. And I said, well, actually, it's as someone who doesn't really enjoy them very much, it's still obvious to me they exist because, A, humans like good competition, and so we're drawn to it for that reason, and B, the industry likes to, you know, show its stuff and do its thing.
Right. Like, acknowledge the performances that...
they like to do their thing. So but why is this so hard to understand? I get why there's award shows. You may hate them. I don't like them that much either, but I actually kind of like the no-host idea. I think the show probably is a little more boring as a result, but I also kind of like that there's not a bunch of wacky shit between everything. Like, just get right to it. Go to the next thing. Like, something about in me appreciated that last night. And I can't quite articulate it because, on the other hand, I also kind of thought it was a little boring. But, I don't think you need a host.
And it feels like, I mean, they still had a lot of the stuff that a host would have brought. Like the Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Maya Rudolph thing. They came out and did their jokes at the very beginning and made the joke that they weren't making jokes like they would if they were a host. Mm-hmm. Yet it still was that thing that a host would do at the beginning of the show. They didn't go, welcome to the Oscars. Our first category is blah, blah, blah. I mean, they still have to grease the wheels before they send the truck down the road.
They basically made it so everything had a host. Everything had a mini host is what they did.
Right.
And that's
fine. They didn't have all that little fluff stuff in the middle with the, I agree.
I think Mike Myers and Dana Carvey could have calmed down a little bit. Just calm down, guys. Like, I get that you're, you know, it's great and you're Wayne and Garth and it's great, but just tone it down. Tradition. And also, oh my gosh, could there be more commercials that are using Queen music during this thing? Like, every time they'd show the old Who's Left of the Queen band sitting down in the audience, I'm thinking to myself, is money just pouring into your pockets there as you get all these things that are happening around you? All of this licensed music, all this stuff happening at once. Can you feel your pockets getting heavier as you sit there?
Like, well, keep in mind, John Deacon is still alive. He just doesn't want to be involved with Queen anymore.
Oh, yeah.
He just doesn't want to be. So it's really just Freddie is the only person who's not around anymore. I was getting a little tired of that same instrumental piece from Bohemian Rhapsody, the song that would play anytime Bohemian Rhapsody won and they had to wait for people to go up to the stage.
Yeah.
It's that same.
And it would be like the crescendo when it was supposed to start, and then it would not. And then,
it would like connect back into itself. It's like, okay, come on.
And it had two awards in a row, and they had to play the thing twice for the same amount of time because for some reason, all of those people are parked way up in the nosebleeds.
Right.
So they got to walk all the way down there. That was weird.
And the producers have no idea about any other Queen songs besides that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, hey, you know what? Killer Queen had a great little guitar lick as well.
I will say it made me, I still haven't seen the Queen thing, the movie.
Oh, really?
Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah. So I think I'm probably going to turn around and see it. But I did notice commercials for a Elton John deal that's coming.
Yeah, yeah, the one that's got the kid from the Kingsman in it.
That's who that is.
Playing Elton John.
I knew that face was familiar, but I could not clamp down on who it was. But I'll bet you there's a bunch of these coming because now it's all in vogue again, you know?
I'm waiting for the Rick Astley biopic. I think that's going to be fantastic.
If it's not just him dancing, I'm never going to
give
you
just in a sailor's outfit?
Yeah. The whole
when
time.
The street is too low.
Doing that thing he does.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do that the entire 2 hours, we've made a horrible mistake. And we should rethink our priorities. All right. Dunaway time, perhaps.
Yes. Let's bring it.
I'm curious if he ever watches this stuff. It seems like he would not be the type.
I wouldn't expect him to. I think he's a recap guy.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
I feel like it's a recap.
Oh, you see Green Book now. Oh,
yeah.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, the one, the only, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hello.
Oh,
how
hi.
Are you, sir? How are you?
I'm doing great.
Ah, that's
great.
Fantastic. Do you watch the Oscars?
Not enough Not enough space between when I saw you last, but, you know.
That's true. We had somebody in the chat room before the show started tonight going, how come Brian Benaway wasn't here? Did he get kicked off the show? Why wasn't he here on Thursday? Like, or Wednesday. I'm like, dude, he missed one episode last week, and Randy stood in for him. It wasn't. People are weird.
Wait. Yeah. I didn't know this part. Randy stood in for me?
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, you're not. Whatever. You didn't approve that, did you? You didn't approve it.
He even did it with the flu, Brian Dunaway. Like, he was on the verge of death.
I don't think he had the flu yet. I think he was still getting the flu. I think he sounded great last Wednesday.
He was.
He did, but Wednesday night he was like a mess during raid because of the flu. So yeah. Like it hit him that day.
I think he went home and he licked a hobo's crotch. That'll do it every time.
They had a doorknob licking contest at Blizzard, and unfortunately he lost.
Yeah, he lost that bet.
Or did he win?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe it depends on who used the doorknob before him. What? Anyway. Hey, Dunaway, welcome to the Stump Dunaway. Or no, it's not that anymore. What is it called? Babel Royale.
Jesus, it's only been Babel Royale for 2 years.
That's all it's ever been. I know.
What could it be?
I'm not thinking. Where people call in to 801-471-0462 and they participate in the goofiness that comes after. It's a little bit of a contest. And the lines are open. If you want to be today's first contestant, you'll be calling me and you'll be doing it now. Like this person. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, who's this?
This is Matt from Nebraska.
Well, hello, Matt from Nebraska. How's Nebraska these days? What's going on in the great state of Nebraska?
We are covered in snow.
Wonderful.
How are you? Yeah, it's probably the stuff that we had over the weekend or last week. We sent it all your way. What part of Nebraska are you from, Matt?
I'm in Lincoln.
Oh, Lincoln. Very
Lincoln,
nice.
Okay, cool.
That's a main, that's the capital, no?
It is
that right? Yeah.
It is.
All right. Well,
so Ibbot, are you up on weather patterns and you know where the weather goes, or are you just being very centric? Like, what happens here?
I'm aware of when it comes from Utah and then hits us and where it goes from there.
Yeah.
Usually is Nebraska.
Brian gets our sloppy seconds. They get his sloppy thirds or whatever.
That's right.
That's a gross reference, isn't it? I shouldn't use it. I say it a lot pretty loosely. Someone will say, don't give me that bread. That's your sloppy seconds. But I'm meaning it in this much more sort of
gross,
colloquial,
innocent
way.
What kind of communal bread are you passing around?
Well, I'm just saying. We call it the old sloppy S. Hey,
I should put a toothpick behind my ear. Go ahead.
I wondered what you thought about that. I know you do. There's nothing I say here that I don't think you're going to hear. So let me get this out now. Brian Dunaway likes sloppy first. There you go. Hey, let's get into it. Let's play this game. Brian Ibbot will explain to Matt and us what our topic is, how the game works, and what Matt could win.
That's right, Scott. I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Matt from Nebraska, your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for a copy of 7 Days to Die on Steam, as well as a copy of Cities Skylines, plus the After Dark DLC, and World of Goo, all three on Steam, all three courtesy of various listeners and supporters of the show, Lois Haley and Matthew Bach, supporting us with today's
Matthew Bach. Me.
Oh, are you Matthew? This is Matthew Bach?
Oh, you're Matthew Bach from Nebraska. Would you like a copy of, you know what, in place, I will send you something cool from the prize vault here. I've got posters, and I got a couple cool things to send. So,
how much for the cat?
You can't have her.
I don't think you can have the cat. I mean, that sounds cool.
You can have Scott's cat.
Yeah, you can have my cat. My cat had diarrhea the other day.
I wish this was more like the old Wheel of Fortune, where you would have the spinning
the
around.
Porcelain. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll take the.
Right. I'll take your porg. I'll take your porg for 200. Ibbot. Just Captain America.
The porcelain Dalmatian somewhere down there on the floor behind me is what you're saying?
Yeah. That's right. We play music like this.
It's Boy Hill, a new recliner.
All right. Well, what's our topic?
Topic then? Today. This is one that I came up with inspired by a question that we had at the Geeks Who Drink trivia thing a couple weeks ago. and decided this would be a great one. So since, I don't know, we'll just say ever, 1977.
It's a long time ago.
There have been 18 movies that Box Office Mojo describes as a body switch comedy film. So a body switch. Now, don't restrict that topic to just think of two people switching their bodies. Think of it also like it could be one character who wakes up in a body that's not their own.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
18 of these films, and I want to see how many you can name. Matt from Nebraska, who do you think is going to win this, and who would you like to go first?
I'm going to pick Scott to win and Brian to go first.
All right.
Okay.
It's on you, Brian Dunaway. You begin.
Well, I don't think you can have a body switch movie and not think about Freaky Friday.
Oh,
now, which one is the question? Because she said, since when?
77.
Since 1977.
I'm going to go with the more recent one.
Go with the more recent one. That is the one that made the most money, as a matter of fact, between the two. $110 million at the box office. The one from 1977, $25 million at the box office. Both of them included in the list. Both of them currently getting crossed off. So... With one stone, you just
take
two
that skit.
I'm gonna do. I'm gonna say big.
Big.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Number one on the list.
Yeah, oh, wow.
$115 million lifetime gross in theaters. 1988. Tom Hanks dancing on a little keyboard at FAO Schwartz.
Yeah, right in front of
on a big keyboard. Really,
it was a big keyboard, and it was right in front of. Robert Loggia had to watch him
That's
do
right.
it. Yeah.
Well, and danced with him, too.
Danced with him. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
The Loge.
Yeah. All right. What say you?
I'm going to go with one of the ones we watched on FilmSec, and one of my favorite switchy body films, Dream a Little Dream, with the two Coreys.
Dream a Little Dream.
Forgot 15th
on the list. $5 million at the box office.
Wow. Well, that probably wasn't bad for the time, for 89.
No.
Probably all right.
No, not bad. Yeah. Dream a Little Dream, number 15 out of 18 on the list.
All right.
That was lower than I thought it'd be.
Let's go with my wife's favorite, one of her favorite rom-coms. She loves 13 Going on 30.
That was going to be my next one.
Yeah.
2004.
It's got the Hulk in it.
It does have the Hulk. Well,
but not
Hulks.
As the Hulk. It's got the
The current Hulk in it, and it has what's her name?
Elektra.
Yeah. Elektra and
Elektra.
The Hulk.
It's
getting
got
it on.
Elektra and the Hulk in it. Everybody knows this.
That's right.
Sure. What a crappy
Elektra,
movie.
Elektra nachos.
Elektra's so bad. So bad.
All right.
All right. So body switch movies. I'm gonna stay within the. A little bit worried about this one, but I kind of. Should I go with a safe one? No, I'm going to go with this one.
Okay.
Body Switch movie, film stack. We watched Face Off.
Oh, I didn't even think of Face Off.
I was really hoping you wouldn't include that one because they don't consider it a body switch movie.
Come on!
No, they don't. It's
you just switch faces. That's it.
It's not a supernatural twist that you know puts two people into opposite bodies. So Face Off or not.
Are you telling me that putting someone else's face on your face and still being alive is not supernatural? I disagree.
I'm going to tell you it's not a body switch because all they did
was a face switch. You're right.
Surgically switch faces.
But
Nicolas
really,
Cage was still Nicolas Cage inside.
Yep.
And
but the rest of it. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Can I go with like father, like son?
No, you can't. Too late.
Gone with that one.
Really?
That would've been a good one to go with.
I'm going to name a couple. Can I name a couple and see if I remember
them
right?
Absolutely.
18 again with old man. I forgot the kid, but
George Burns.
Yes.
And Schlatter. Tom Schlatter? Jonathan Schlatter?
Yeah.
That was the guy.
Oh, yep. I thought you said about Jonathan. Oh, you're talking about...
18
about
again
chick?
Was...
How about the hot chick?
The hot chick is in here, too. Yep.
Dang it.
How if he'd have gotten it wrong on Freaky Friday for the original, how old is that movie? Because I would have said the old one.
Oh, the old one is 77. The new one is 03. They were both on the list.
So we would have gotten it. Okay. All right.
Yeah, you would have gotten it.
All right. Let me think if there's anything else I can think of.
Those are the big ones. That was a good trivia question. I like that.
I can't. You know what? It's funny that you screwed up already because I think I might be out. I can't think of any more.
Right.
You would have had a couple. A couple you didn't mention. Zac Efron had his own, which was 17 again. Not to be confused with 18 again.
Right.
17 again back in 2009. The Change Up in 2011. All of Me. Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin, if I remember correctly, in 84.
Oh, right. Yep. I remember that.
You mentioned Like Father, Like Son. That was what Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage?
No, that's
no Dudley Moore,
And the Christian freak out now. What's his name?
Oh, right. Yes.
Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron. Yeah.
Being John Malkovich.
Really? That's it.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Prelude to a Kiss. Alec Baldwin. It's Meg Ryan switches places with an old man and kisses Alec Baldwin.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
Nine Lives from 2016. The movie Switch, which Will
Smith.
That
would have been a good one.
What's the one where Adam or
Fred Savage?
No, Adam. Freaking, I can't think of his name. SNL guy, lunch lady.
Andy Sandberg or Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler, him and his sister. Mm. That one doesn't count.
Yeah,
does
that
it?
Wasn't a switch. That was just
that's
weird.
Not a switch. That's just weird.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Vice Versa. That must be the one with Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage. Something Special and It's a Boy Girl Thing, both of those not even grossing $500,000 in the box office, so no wonder neither of us have heard of those, or none of us have heard of those.
So here's the, okay, is there any chance, there's like 20 movies on that Hallmark channel that do Christmas movies where it's all swapperinos. Would any of those been on the list? Probably not.
No, probably not. Unless they had a theatrical release, because I do think that's what Box Office Mojo restricts it to.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? It's a boy-girl thing, maybe? Something special? Yeah, I don't
Something's
know.
In the back of my head that I've missed here, and I cannot bring it out. There's some movie that the whole premise is literally just a body swap, and I can't think what it is.
Body swap.
I mean, I guess you know what I could do with... No, that doesn't work. Was Indiana Jones possessed by somebody in the Temple of Doom, or was that just him getting drugged?
Getting drugged, the whole Kali Ma thing in Temple of Doom. That was
so it wasn't some spirit taking him over, because that could be body swappy, right?
It could be. I also don't think you include movies where that like that isn't the main premise of the film. Like you could have said Scooby and Shaggy and Velma when they all swapped bodies around that cauldron. Right. Remember when the little
green
smoky heads popping into another one? So I don't think that one
because that's just a bit. Yeah, that's just a thing.
It was just a bit.
All right.
Anna Krakatau says, did Jimmy Smith's Becoming a Woman get mentioned? That must have been Switch. That was Jimmy Smith and Ellen Barkin.
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah. Sure. I don't know. I haven't even heard of that. Dubious Rascal says, Your Name? What? I don't get it. I don't know what he means by that. All I know is Matthew Bach, the great malevolent contributor to the show with all his rad prizes. He has won today, and he gets a physical grab bag from Brian Ibbett. So here's what you got to do.
He gets a physical grab.
Yeah.
He gets a physical grab at my bag.
Yep, grabbing your bag. All you got to do for that great opportunity is send him an email, coverville@gmail.com, and it will be yours. Matt, it's great to talk to you, and I hope that the snow remains not horrible for you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye. He's such a quiet-natured little feller.
Yeah.
You know, just kind
of,
hey.
But a great supporter of the show. And those prizes will come back again on Wednesday. So be here Wednesday and win them then.
Got some information about those toilets just real quick here. Here it is.
About those toilets?
Yeah. That's what we talked earlier about flushing power in the U.S. versus Canada.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
When low-flow toilets were mandated in the U.S., many manufacturers deployed quick and dirty fixes. My house, built in the 90s, had toilets that were basically old-style toilets, which a baffle had been added to the tank to reduce the amount of water per flush, and it got clogged frequently. But basically, there was a mandate at one point where they were like, we're conserving water in this country. These toilets are going to be low flow. That's what everybody needs to be making.
And dadgummit, if Hank Hill didn't have a whole episode about it,
that was
fantastic.
A great episode of King of the Hill. Yeah. You're right. I was just watching that like 3 days ago. What's up with that? What's going on with that?
What's up with that? I don't know, Kenan.
Well, all right there, Brian Dunaway, all the way in South Carolina. Don't forget, Brian and I have a show to do, and that will be today, the Boop Show. We're going to talk about a bunch
but
of
But what will it be about?
Indie games, small games, you know, stuff we find and play, video games. It's going to be very exciting. So check that out today at 5:30 Eastern Time. That's 3:30 Mountain at frogpants.tv if you want to watch it live, or go to frogpants.com and find the podcast, and you can get it that way. Brian, have a fantastic day.
Face off.
See you, Brian.
Face off. I could eat a peach for hours.
I was really hoping no one, neither of you were going to say face off, because I didn't want to go into that like, oh, well, technically not a body swap.
I literally
a face swap.
when he said it, I got all excited thinking, oh, that's a great one. Why didn't I think of that? And then you clarified and I went, oh, I'm so glad I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Because that could have been rough for me. All right. Before we get to the news, I want to put out a big thanks to On Deck for supporting the morning stream. Small business owners, listen, I'm one of those. Do you need capital to manage your cash flow, purchase inventory, or upgrade your office space? Getting access to capital is incredibly challenging for small business owners and most traditional banks. They sort of lack the technology and resources to truly understand a small business like yours. OnDeck is 100% committed to small business owners with fast, easy, and tailored financing. Whether it's a short-term loan or line of credit, their loan specialist can help you secure the funding you need. You'll get a decision in minutes and funding in the fast 24-hour period, which is pretty great. OnDeck does not require any business collateral. The application process is simple and won't impact your personal credit. With over $10 billion in loans and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, OnDeck is a lender you can trust. I think OnDeck is awesome. I also think that it can be crazy for small business owners trying to figure out how to finance stuff and do things. I'm really glad they exist in this way. So here's what I want you to do. For our listeners, you can do this. You get a free consultation with one of their U.S.-based loan specialists. For more information, go to ondeck.com/stream. That's ondeck.com/stream for a free consultation. It's that easy. Go do it. Let's do a little bit of this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Time for the news, brought to you by...
Brought to you by America's Next Top Podcaster. Hey, I put up a brand new episode at the end of last week featuring special guest star Rob Cesternino from Survivor, and Rob has a podcast. This guy has spent almost as much time on the podcast award stages as I have. we had each of the teams interview him, and they came up with three very different interviews. How did they do? Listen to the interviews, and then listen to the judging, and make your own votes. That is America's Next Top Podcaster. Find it at americasnexttoppodcaster.com or go to iTunes or Google Play and search for America's Next Top Podcaster.
I greatly enjoyed hanging out with him on that episode.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Really nice guy.
Yep.
Like a really genuine, very cool, nice guy.
Not some a-hole ex-TV guy. Not at all.
Right.
Totally different dude. He's great.
Yes.
All right. Let's get to it.
He's no Richard Hatch.
No. Who is, though?
Richard Hatch was the first winner of Survivor, not to be confused with the guy from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, different Richard Hatch. Now, that Richard Hatch, by all accounts, was also very nice, the Battlestar guy.
Yes.
But the Richard Hatch from Survivor is a notorious dick. Hey!
The tax-dodging dude, yes.
Yeah,
let's talk about the news.
He's a wiener. Check this out. This is not... I didn't intend this to roll in so easily. Roll. I use the term roll as well. But also, we were talking about low flush toilets. Americans, in their use of toilet paper, is wiping out Canadian forests, according to environmental groups. Yeah. Oh, wiping out. I didn't even notice. There's another one in there. That's really good. Americans' desire for soft toilet paper, and lots of it, is destroying ancient Canadian forests, according to two prominent environmental groups. This week.
Ancient Canadian forests, huh?
Don't touch his funny bone. I was mixed those two up.
Ancient Chinese secret and operation.
Yeah, and operation. Yes. Is that weird? They're from the same era.
Really
so
weird.
I don't know why, but whenever you say that, I hear the other thing. Anyway.
Ancient Chinese medicine, huh? Don't touch his funny bone.
What a stupid game. I hate that game. Anyway, in the report filed in the called The Issue with Tissue... Huh. Getting a little cheeky there. Oh, cheeky. Yeah. I did it again. Cheeky.
Jeez, it's hard not to for us not to do that.
It's not bad. The Natural Resource Defense Council and Stand.Earth say the average American uses 3 rolls of toilet paper per week. Who's doing that?
Yeah, I
what?
I certainly don't.
I don't either. Do they mean households? I could see that. Like straight up in my house, I'll bet we go through 3. I'll bet we do 2 rolls, if we're lucky, a week. With 4 of us.
Wow. Yeah, with the 2 of us, 1 roll maybe every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that seems wrong.
That's insane. I don't know what...
their numbers don't
hold up. People really gotta, I don't know, eat more roughage. The bidet is the way to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love a good bidet. And ours has a seat warmer, which is also nice.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, most Americans probably do not know that the toilet paper they flush away comes from ancient forests, but clear-cutting those forests is costing the planet a great deal. Maintaining the Canadian boreal forest is vital to avoiding the worst impacts of climate change, says Anthony Swift, director of NRDC's Canada Project. They said this in a news release. The report says Procter & Gamble is particularly the worst U.S. paper company at using sustainable components. They say that Procter & Gamble did not respond to requests for comment. The Reuters news service said it also asked the company to comment with no response. But apparently they make a lot of toilet paper, and Americans are just using it, man. Just give me more toilet paper. That's what I do when I use mine. I just go on the thing and I pull out a huge pile.
That's what a cat does, too.
Yeah.
We had to get a metal shield. Mm-hmm. That comes down over the roll because she will sit there and like rip it up with her claws and chew on it with her teeth. And we come into the bathroom prior to getting this little metal shield, and it would be like paper scraps all over the floor. And she's a little monster.
That's what a cat will do. Yeah. Tarpiculus in the chat room says severe IBS checking in. Those are rookie numbers. You got to get those up. All right. So maybe the averages go up if you count everybody with a need for more. I have a roll of toilet paper over by my gaming rig over here that's just for me blowing my nose. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's like a whatever. But we also buy the recycled cheapy stuff to try to be a more, an environment, less of a carbon footprint, as the kids say in 2019.
Make less of an earthly impact.
Yeah. Impact on the earth. Let's do one more story. Let's see, which one do I want to do? Oh, we have a follow-up. Let's do this one.
Oh, good. Okay.
Eating zombie deer meat is safe, after all. So, you don't have to stress about it.
Thank goodness.
We had that talk.
We were talking about the zombie deer meat.
Mm-hmm. And we were saying don't eat it.
So they tested the zombie deer meat.
They did. And they said eating it does not appear to be a problem. If you cook it right, it's perfectly safe. For now, anyway. Researchers examined about 80 people who feasted on the meat of deer and tested positive for chronic wasting disease, the meat, not the people. This is a fatal illness for the deer that causes zombie-like behavior in the animals, could spread to humans, and found over the course of a 60-year study. No significant changes in health conditions, they say. That's according to USA Today. They reported that on Thursday. The tainted deer meat was unwittingly served to 200 to 250 people at a fire company in Oneida County, New York, on March 13th, 2005. You know, that was the year of Serenity, Batman Begins, and the third Star Wars prequel.
I wish I could do that. I wish I did a better job of connecting years with movies, because we'll be doing this during Film Sack, and we'll say, well, didn't that movie come out in, like, 2003? And I'm like, no, wasn't it, like, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
No,
Brian, I don't know why I did that. I strongly relate movies to the year they released in, and I don't know why.
You're really, really good at
that. It feels like there's something wrong with me, maybe. Maybe it's a problem. I don't know.
Captain Kipper just posted a little video of zombie deer. Is it
horrifying?
One of the most gruesome things I've ever seen. I do not like it.
Is it a living deer, like a moving, walking?
Yes, yes.
Oh. No, I don't like this at all.
No, I don't like that either.
Oh, my Lord.
That is a very disturbing video.
Oh, you got a glowy eye, too.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And look how miserable he must be.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's really awful. I'm not eating that meat. Are you kidding?
No. Who exactly. Wants a, who don't wants tell me a that's
thick,
safe.
Who wants a thick slice of the face? There's a lot of extra meat here. I don't know why, but have some. Mm-mm.
Look at that. It sizzles even before you cut it.
Oh, I feel bad for that thing. Poor thing. Ooh. Plus, all animals remind me of Rainer. Everything looks like Rainer to me.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like a deer. Anyway, don't. Bottom line is, you can, but I would say don't.
I'd say don't.
I'd say stay away from it if you can.
Have the pudding, don't eat the meat.
Yeah. How can you have your pudding if you don't eat your meat?
Exactly.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, major spoilers, Trek nerd, all that business. Later in the show, we've got a reminder about Vegas, a cool email, and a mashup even. Plenty of content coming up. Before all that, though, a quick break with some music from Brian.
Yes, we're going to the Gold Coast of Australia to a singer named Vanese, V-A-N-E-E-S-E. She's actually a British singer-songwriter, but she's been living in the Gold Coast of Australia for now over a decade. She grew up in a household that, you know, parents loved both hip hop and show tunes, and her pop music kind of melds all those into one. She reminds me a little bit of Lana Del Rey or Lorde, very much like those artists in her singing style, which I really, really like.
Sure.
Her album Goddess, or her single Goddess, came out at the end of last week. Check it out. Here is Venice.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Drape me in the pure silk, baby. Paint me in pure gold. I will be like your disciple. Never let you go. Tell me all your darkest secrets. Let me make them mine. I will be your new religion. Worship me all night. You were a gift from the gods. And my God, you make me feel. You make me feel like a god. Sold my soul, but it was worth it. You make me feel like a goddess. Like an angel, pure and flawless. Cover me in emeralds, baby. Treat me like your queen. I will be your Aphrodite. Take over your dreams. Let me take your burdens, baby. Let me make them mine. They will speak of our love story till the end of time. You were a gift from the gods. And my God, you make me feel.
Hey, you guys, let's talk about, I don't know, something a lot of people don't like to talk about publicly, but it's okay. It's okay to do it. Remember those days when you were ready to go, guys? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. So listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. They bring you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity shows up. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That's, again, BlueChew.com with promo code TMS to try it for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring today's show.
In your enthusiasm to show Mary a good evening out on your wedding anniversary last night, you had a whole lobster, and quite a large one, I might add, and numerous olives, served in thin-shelled glasses and surrounded by amber fluid.
You don't mean me, do you? Hey, what? Huh?
This is the Morning Stream. It puts the lotion in the basket.
And we're back, everyone. Back and ready to call Stephen Schleicher.
That's right.
It's Monday.
It's always a good Monday when we got Stephen on deck.
Yeah. It's his day. Except, oh, there he is. All right. We're calling him. Get a little Skype music. He's so fast, we barely have to hear it. And that's real great. Now we got to play his theme. It's Stephen Schleicher, everybody, all the way from Hayes, Kansas. Stephen, what's up?
Hey, not a whole lot.
Nice to have you here.
Yeah, good morning, Scott. Good morning, Brian.
How's your
good morning?
How's your life of major spoilery things happening for you?
Shoveling snow.
Oh, see, Brian, more leftovers
we got,
from you.
Yeah, we got 7 inches of snow in one day.
Is that a lot for you guys? Is that
Typically, Western Kansas, the most we normally get is like 3 inches, maybe.
Yeah.
Most of it's a lot less, but every other year we'll get like a big old major dump.
When you're since you're in Kansas and when the storm is happening, do you hear?
No.
You don't hear that outside? Okay.
No.
All right. The neighbor lady's not on a
broom. I'll get you, my pretty.
She's not our neighbor lady, maybe.
She got a dog in a basket and a crappy old bike. She's yelping at you. That's great. Hey, Stephen, welcome back to the show. It's always a pleasure to have Stephen here. He's a maven of pop culture and comics and movies and TV and all that fun stuff. If you go to majorspoilers.com, it's all the proof you need. But we add additional proof each week when he comes on Monday and talks about the happenings and goings on in that world. For example, let's talk about G.I. Joe Asics. Now, is that a shoe? It's a shoe.
No, this was just announced. It's available now at the Foot Locker stores.
Yeah.
But, you know, the old Storm Shadow and the Snake Eyes have been rivals for years. And now Hasbro has teamed up with Asics to create two shoes, one that's a Storm Shadow shoe and one that's a Snake Eyes shoe. And they're actually kind of cool if you look at the pictures for them. I mean, they look like white Asics. I forget which one. The Snake Eyes is white and Storm Shadow is black, I believe, right? I forget which one of them is which. One of them can't talk. Mm.
Does one of them make noise and the other shoe doesn't?
Don't remember. Okay. But, I mean, they do look pretty cool with the little Cobra logo on the back and G.I. Joe logos, and there's hats and everything that's going on this. I think this is going to be a limited time thing. But if you're someone who likes to collect shoes, and I don't know if there's anybody in the listening audience that likes to collect shoes, but these might be a pair to grab a hold of have them stick around on your shelf for years. I know my son likes to get different kinds of shoes and display them in his bedroom, but
yeah, I don't know how.
Putting them on is half the battle.
Yeah,
yeah, nice. That's right.
Well done. well, now you've thrown me. Oh, I don't know if he listens to the show much anymore, but Mark the Terpster Turpin is a huge shoe collector nut. Collects everything, especially like one time off, like weird promotional shoe. He's the Imelda Marcos of the Frog Pants Network. I'm like, crazy. Okay. I don't know how his wife doesn't just kick him out with all these shoes he buys, but these look like something he'd get. So I'm going to copy this link and send it to him because it seems like a thing he would be all over.
They're available now. That was the other thing is like the day that they made the announcement was the day that they were available. And I like it that companies are starting to do more of this. Mm-hmm. We saw that with the Tetris 99. And of course, the Apex Legends was the same way where it's just like, hey, everybody, here's this new game. It's available now.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, here's a new shoe. It's available now.
I kind of like that, too. I like sudden release stuff. I'm tired of the whole like here. We told you about it 6 months ago and we're slowly getting there. Like I need I need more immediate satisfaction in my life.
And I think it kind of, I don't know what that does to the hype machine, but I think it kind of enhances it instead of going, oh, 6 months, then your interest wanes on a product. But when it's like, hey, you, these shoes are out today, everyone's excited, you can go buy these right now at Foot Locker.
Yeah.
And then people are like, okay, where's my local Foot Locker? And then they go and get them right then and there.
And regardless of how people feel about Apple, they're good about this too. Like, they're usually mm-hmm. up on stage. We got this hot new thing and it's out Friday, or it's out today, or whatever. And
or you can order it today and it'll be here in 6 months.
Yeah. Sometimes that'll happen. But I always appreciated that. And I appreciate that mm-hmm. about, like you said, Apex Legends was like one of those. Also, you know what else is like that? Is that Tetris 99 game for the Switch.
Yep.
Just out of the blue. Shows up in that thing. There was no rumors about it, nothing. They talk about it, and an hour later, I'm playing it.
Have you played it? You've played it.
Oh, yes. I love it. Brian's played it a bit, too, I believe. Right, Brian?
A little bit, yep.
Yeah, it's good. It's I've gotten as high as 12, I think, is the best I can do.
I have to wrestle the Switch from my boy first.
Yeah. I had a fifth place finish.
See, I just have. I love Tetris, but I've never been good when things speed up. I lose it, especially if I'm stacked halfway high and the timer thing cranks in and it's going faster. I'm screwed.
There's a little bit of a panic, like ah. But my worst, the best thing that I did was turn off the thing that if you push up on the arrow buttons, stuff drops immediately, because I was accidentally going.
Oh yeah, you have to be careful, right?
You got to be really careful with that. So once I took that off, I was I did a lot better.
Yeah, I try to go back and forth, because the guys I see that are really playing hardcore, they're using the drop, but just really effectively, and I don't think I'm that good with it. Like, it's just, what do they call it? It's got a word. There's a term for that. Something.
Yeah.
Drop. And the Tetris pieces. Do you know the Tetris pieces are called Tetrominoes?
Tetrominoes.
Yeah.
And each one has its own name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the big long one called? The thing I need all the time? Is that
the one
name
that doesn't come often enough?
Yeah.
Yes.
The one I'm always storing just in case? Yeah, that's the one. All right, well, anyway.
I always forget that you can store them. I don't use that storm thing at all.
Oh, you got to use the storm thing. Storm is important. Especially when you got some jiggity-jaggy Z-shaped one coming down.
Yes, that doesn't have and you don't have a little nubbin to put it on.
Yeah, you
got to
tuck it away until you got one. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you still got the fifth. That's impressive. I'm very impressed. Brian's playing it like my grandma, yet got fifth place.
Hmm. I know. I need to. How will I do if I use the store piece or the store?
Exactly. Or whatever that's called. What is that called?
Yeah.
Just a store function. All right. Let's talk about Jim Henson's Storyteller. I used to love this. Would watch it with my daughter, and she adored it. As a guy. Was he Jim? Or
yeah, it's Jim Henson's Storytellers. It came out in the 80s.
Wasn't it John Hurt was the original host?
No, I believe it was a puppet that was the original host. Or maybe it was a real guy with his dog that was a puppet.
Yeah, I think the dog was a puppet. And it was John Hurt, and later it was the guy who plays Dumbledore now.
I think you're right.
Gambone, whatever his first name is. But the dog was always a puppet, and he would always tell the story to the dog, and then they would fade out into the actual recreation of whatever the story was, and it was always just like Dark Crystal weird, like cool stuff.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, you know, that was originally in the 80s, and then it's kind of been on nonstop loop ever since. But now they're going to be bringing it back with the Jim Henson Company. And they've got Neil Gaiman, comic book writer, novel writer, has done a lot of stuff on the fantasy and classic fairy tale type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the executive producer on the series, and he's going to tell even more classic stories through that. So we're going to get an all new round of Jim Henson Storytellers coming up soon. If you still like Jim Henson Storytellers, there's Boom Studios actually has a comic book adaptation series of Storyteller that you can go check out.
I'm reading this here. It says, here it is. John Hurt as the Storyteller. Then Michael Gambone came in for the Greek Myths. So that was like a separate spinoff. Storyteller Greek Myths. And then you had Brian Henson in all of that played the dog.
Mm.
So there's that. I'm very excited about this. This was produced in England. Are they doing it there again?
It doesn't say. My guess is perhaps, since that's where Neil Gaiman is headquartered, but it's Stars, so they could be, I think it's Stars that's doing it. But, you know, it could end up being done here in America.
Yeah, and they did a ton. The main crux of that thing was I think the reason they appealed to me so much is these, none of these were stories I had heard of. They're very obscure, weird folk tales that are European mostly. Like, none of this stuff is, like, based here. You don't get Bigfoot stories or anything dumb. And they were always so strange, and the puppets they would make were just elongated, freaky stuff, like weird effects. It's awesome.
I didn't realize they were adapting existing stories. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Gaiman selects. I don't know if any of you guys have read his Norse mythology book, where he's basically retelling the North folklore from what he remembers and kind of adding to it and building upon it. But it's really good.
Yeah, I loved it. I did the audio book for that. It was real, real good. Like, fantastic stuff. Highly recommend that. In fact, you know what? Everybody stop what you're doing and go get that book. It's great. If you like mythology. If you don't like mythology, you're not probably going to find much there to like. But Neil Gaiman, he's the man.
I don't know. The stories about Loki in that book are pretty good.
They're really good. It might be. And that's the other thing is it's a much more accurate take on the original myths.
Mm-hmm.
So Loki's very different. He's not the MCU Loki for sure. But
there's a story of how Loki ended up mothering a horse. That is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. Norse myth stuff, it's badass, man. Like, they need more of that in video games. I just would put that out as a separate request. There's not near enough of it. All right, and that was what was great about that God of War game. It was all digging deep into the Norse myth stuff, which is really cool. All right, and what else? Oh, you also wanted to make sure people knew that there was the best superhero movie of all time is dropping on Tuesday. Gosh, I wonder what
that's right. Yep. Man, it got like one Oscar Suicide nod last Squad. Night. But I mean, if people haven't seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, it drops digitally tomorrow, the 26th, and people can go pick that up then. Or apparently it's still playing in theaters in some places. So if you can go see it in theaters, go see it in theaters. But just spread that Spider-Man love.
Yeah, I want to say it's still in our local one down the street. Let me just check on that, actually, because I think it's still there. And I think it's still in the top ranking box office stuff. Oh, maybe it fell out of the top 10. Yeah, it looks like it did, because it's now not at most of those theaters. Yeah, do that. Watch that. Then go see the third How to Train Your Dragon movie, because that's also supposed to be amazing, and I love that whole series. But see Spider-Man first. That should be the rule. You can't watch any more animated features until you watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm kind of upset. I mean, Brian, maybe you remember, wasn't Beauty and the Beast the only animated movie to be nominated for Best Picture?
For Best Picture, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a shame that this one wasn't, because Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse really elevates both animation and movie making to a whole other level. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's truly film as art. And I kind of wish it would have gotten a little bit more love.
Yeah, you know what? Marvel just got their first, or Marvel, the true MCU just got their first Oscars last night. So let's give it some time. You know, people.
But still,
people start to appreciate it, and you know, Black Panther getting a nomination is huge in and of itself. So give it time.
Yeah,
there's always Into the Spider-Verse 2.
Hey, did you know that a 16-year-old kid with really long hair composed all the music for Black Panther? I didn't.
Right, that's the first thing we said. It's like, how old is this kid? And then he's talking about a decade ago when we were in college. Like, wow, okay, he does not look like he's in his 30s. Holy cow.
Not at all. He looks so young. But also, how awesome is that? That those him and Coogler are hanging out in film school.
Dorms.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome. That maybe made me the happiest of all night, of the whole night. That and that supporting actress. Or no, not supporting. She won the main actress award, right? What's her name? Something Collins. What's her name? British lady.
Bucci
oh
Collins?
Yes, right.
The one you liked the speech from. What's her name?
Oh, Olivia Colman.
Yeah, that one. Says besides her, what I'm saying is besides her, that was my favorite moment in the entire thing.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. Well, I would think that you would appreciate the two that won for the animated short, getting up and saying, you know, geeky girls with your sketchbooks, afraid to tell your stories, don't be. And
yeah, I turned around and looked at Carter and I smiled at her.
Yep, that's.
And she kicked me in the
that's
leg.
All I can think about. Yeah,
she kicked me right in the leg when I did that because she thinks I. I keep making her see things that make her cry. She played a video game called Between Two Worlds, or no, Between Worlds, I think it is.
I forgot. Between Two Ferns, the video game.
No, it's like this little indie game. It's a sweet little story and puzzle game, and it's super short. She beat it in like 2 hours, but I I told her that it was going to be awesome, and she played it, and I didn't even know she was playing it. And she gets done with it, and she goes, oh, and then spends the next 10 minutes crying and hitting me in the arm for thinking it's cute that she's crying. She's such a
she needs to see, the both of you need to see One Small Step, which was one of the animation, one of the animated films that was nominated, or the shorts.
Okay.
Really good. That one might be on YouTube, but take a look for it. It's
how come they don't have all the animated shorts in that $10 deal, do you think?
Well, probably Disney's licensing rights. Licensing probably for Bao is why that one's not included. The other one was Cartoon Saloon.
Mm.
Is the owner of it, and I don't know what their licensing rights are either, but you know, you get it's an Irish animation film and television studio. Anyway, I mean, you get the rest of the stuff for $10, totally worth it.
All right, well, we'll see it at some point, but yeah, we love that stuff. I don't think either
heavy stuff, but good.
All right, I like heavy.
We'll stick with you.
All right, well, Steven, it's been a pleasure as always. Anything on the site you want people to be keeping track of?
I think people should go check out a series that pops up once a month, usually towards the end of the month, called Random Access Memory, where Rand Bolavia, who is the one half of Ookla the Mock, the geeky, nerdy band, he takes a look back at 40 years of comic book reading. And so this month, it's up on the site now. He takes a look back at the comics released in February in 1979, 84, 89, 94, 99, 2004, 2009, and 2014, and just kind of says, here's what made these comic books great. Here's what I remember about them. And here are other comics that I read. And it's a fun little thing. It's right up there in the top right corner right now. But Random Access Memory for February 2019. It's a nice long look back at 40 years of comic book reading from a comic book fan.
Nice. Well, all this and more, majorspoilers.com, majorspoilers on Twitter. Steven Schleicher, have a fantastic week.
Stay hydrated.
Bye. Captain Kipper found that animated short on YouTube for One Small Step. This one was my pick for best animated short for this year.
Let's
so
see which one
after
is
the
this?
Show, I put it in our Discord, but you'll have to watch it afterwards.
Oh yeah, this has a full. This is the full thing.
It's the full thing. Full 7 minute. 7 minute short.
Oh no, I've saw this. I've seen this, but I saw this somewhere else. I saw it on. Yeah, this is the daughter and the dad and everything.
Yes.
Saw this on, what's the other video? Vimeo one night, and I thought, oh, this is awesome, and then I forgot that it would be a thing that would be up for... Now this makes sense. Okay. I have actually seen this. Carter has not seen it yet, and she's wary of me telling her to because she thinks she knows it's going to make her cry.
This will make her cry.
Yeah.
This made me cry. This will make her cry,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's really good, you guys. This is fantastic. Yeah. Okay, now I know what this one is. This is really good. All right. Where am I now?
Hey, Olivia Colman made that same noise when she was doing her acceptance
speech. She did. She made a fart noise. That was great.
She made a fart noise. I think the first fart noise at the Oscars.
Yeah. If so, she deserves the credit. Yep. Daryl picks up. Oh, he picked up quicker than usual.
Pretty quick. Yeah.
All right.
Quick.
That's not bad, Daryl. There's Daryl at work, and here's his theme. Hold on a second. Do I have one? I don't have one.
You're slipping, Roy.
All right, there you go. You're slipping, Roy. Hi. Hey, it's Daryl Skeels. He is, of course, the world's renowned Trek nerd and comes on the show. We talk about Star Trek and Star Trek-related stuff. It's a tradition that goes back to very early days of the show, and we're happy to be doing it here. Here's the thing. There's not a lot going on, although we do know the names of the upcoming final episodes or the next seven or so, whatever it is.
The next five.
Five.
Yeah.
Do we know anything about them other than the names, and have you gleaned anything from the names?
No, nothing jumps out as meaning anything.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Okay, this is... Oh man, it's doing it again. Hold on, my mixer sucks.
Project Daedalus. I mean, that's the dude who had the wax wings, flew too close to the sun, so that, you know.
I'm going to spray my thing. Why aren't you working? Hold on, there we go.
Out.
There we go. My thing sucks. All right. where was I saying? Oh, this weekend we watched Stargate, the movie, and Daryl likes that movie.
Yes.
We think it's okay.
How long has it been since you watched it, Daryl?
You need to watch it again.
Well, maybe. It was in the theater, and it was its original run.
All right. Well, the second half is rough, and it was then for me as well. But I think it spawned one of the best multiple series in the history of TV science fiction. I think SG-1 and Atlantis in particular are really fantastic. And SG-1 is pretty special. But it's something you never watched, right?
Well, I tried to a few episodes.
Okay.
It never grabbed me.
It never grabbed you. Now, this surprises me because I would put it up there. It's just me saying this, so, you know, everyone's got different opinions or whatever. But I would put it right up there with TNG, which was kind of running at the same time, right? So they were sort of paired up. Not really. I mean, it was 97, so I guess technically they were a decade behind. But there was a period there where there was Star Trek running together, and whether it was DS9 or whatever, you know, the show was on. Mm-hmm. And SG-1 really set itself apart, in my opinion, as a pretty special show. And it really had the Trek approach, which is every week there's a new thing to deal with. And as we deal with it, we tell you how it goes. And the next week it's a whole nother thing. But then there's also an overarching thing that you can kind of follow along to of the broader story. But mostly it's a week-to-week kind of Star Trek approach to the way that the show works. And I just wanted to put out this controversial opinion. I think, especially saying it in front of you, Mr. Trek Nerd, I think SG-1 rivals Star Trek. Like, it's a different approach. It's a different, you know, kind of show in some ways. But
oh
in
boy.
A lot of ways.
Where's my popcorn?
So Daryl, do you...
Where's my white glove? Throw this down.
What do you think about that thought? Now, Jeannie just admitted in the chat that she loves the movie, hates the show.
Yeah, I'm with that.
So that might be you and Jeannie might be together at last, is what's going on there. But Stargate, I don't know what it was. And by the way, I made true on my thing I said Friday or Sunday, Brian, as I started watching it. Like, I'm back. I'm going to watch it again.
Did
I'm
you
watching
really?
It again.
Oh, man, you beat me to it even.
Yeah, I'm in the mood.
Hulu, right?
Yeah, Hulu and okay. Amazon have them. They both have all of it. Okay. So you can get it on Prime or Hulu. But not Netflix currently. But it's just, I'm so excited to get back into it, to be reminded of all this stuff. There were always great crossovers, including a ton of Star Trek crossovers. The Doctor from Voyager gets on there a bunch of times. You got the, I think Data made an appearance, but not as Data, just Brent Spiner uh-huh. doing a thing. They got a whole bunch of people from Firefly would come on there here and there in the early aughts. That show went from 97 to 2007. It was a 10-year run and a hell of a one. So, and they're movies too, like little separate movies, little 2-hour ones as well. They're also pretty cool. Yes. What were you saying?
How many series have there been?
So the main series were SG-1 and then it had its own spinoff movies. We'll just count the series. So SG-1, Atlantis, and Universe. Those are your three series. Universe got cut short, but I don't know. It was trying to be too much BSG. It was still cool, though. I liked it. And then you got... now they're working on a reboot of the film with some of the same people, including the director. And if that goes well, maybe we get a new life into a new series. I don't know. But it's great. It's real good. And I just want to challenge Daryl Skeels, lord of all things Star Trek. Probably already has his own teleporters and freaking food replicators, for all I know. That's what the kind of nerd he is. Just, I'm just saying, move your gaze over just a little bit. And I don't mean the two gay guys you have in your office. Your actual eye gaze. Move your gaze this way and look at this thing with new eyes and tell me what you think of it. And get past the first, you know, the first chunk of episodes are going to be the worst because they always are, just like Star Trek. It's not mm-hmm. the first season's always like trying to find your feet. But I'm telling you, you're going to find something there. And then I think Atlantis was amazing. So I think Atlantis is even better. And I loved that. And it was a great little rollover into that. So I'm just saying. Just Daryl, if I
can. Oh, maybe I'll try it again.
All right. Good luck to
Listen,
you.
Listen, if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, Brian's going to
do it.
We'll
do it together.
Brian's going to do it, and then I promise to get caught up on Orville.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's better and better.
Yeah, I keep hearing mm-hmm. that. I don't know why I'm so late to get to
Loving this new two-parter that they started last week.
Mm-hmm.
When is the last time you heard somebody say, I loved the two-parter? Because it's such a rarity, right? So that's
it's
high
totally
praise.
Rare.
Very high praise. Anyway, we'll check that out. Daryl, anything else in the Star Trek world you want to talk about?
Do you want to know the names of these episodes, or does that not
No, let's do it. Episode 7, what is it? What's it called?
Light and Shadows.
Okay, let's take a guess. Light and Shadows. I'm going to guess there's some kind of light, and then There'll be shadows that it casts if it runs into objects that block the light.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, I think that might be the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Episode 8. What's the title there?
If Memory Serves.
All right. Memory is a young Starfleet cadet. She's working butler. Her way up through.
She's a butler.
Yep. And they say, Memory, bring us drinks. We're having a meeting. It's very important. And then
I think
Memory.
The plot of that one is Burnham finds a flash drive.
There you go. There you go. I like that. Wait, why would that be? Why would it be a flash
memory.
Drive?
Memory serves.
Oh, flash memory. A flash drive. I got it. All right. Episode 9 is called what?
Project Daedalus.
Ah, so that's Mitch Pileggi flying a ship from Stargate Atlantis called the Daedalus. No, that's not it? Okay, probably not that. I don't know what that would be. What do you think that is? This sounds mysterious.
Where's a beekeeper takes the wax and makes a spaceship.
Okay, I like it.
Okay, sure.
What's episode 10?
That's the Red Angel.
I know what that one is.
Yeah, that's, we know what that one is.
It's an angel with a bad rash, like a groin, some kind of unexplained groin rash called the Red Angel, right? No? What do you think it is?
Yeah.
Well, if you've been watching the latest season, there's a Red Angel.
It's a through line. Yeah, there's a through line for the season.
Oh, I haven't seen any of that yet. Angel. I haven't watched yet. I haven't started, so I got to get started. And then Perpetual Infinity for episode 11.
That's kind of redundant, isn't it?
It's very redundant, yes.
Perpetual Infinity. That implies that you could stop perpetuating infinity.
Perpetual Ongoing Infinity.
Yeah. Forever, nonstop, perpetual infinity. I don't know what that's like. All right. Well, there you go. 7 through 11. You now. Was it, how many episodes total this year? Is that 11? Is that
14. 14. It's going to be
14. All right. Well, more titles to come then. Mm-hmm. Another news-packed episode of The Trek Nerd. And then, of course, on This Week in Trek, you guys talk about this stuff. So what's up this week? Probably a review of the most recent episode and something else?
Yeah, and a really bad TOS episode that I don't remember the name of. Whom's Gods Destroy? That's
Whom's
Gods Destroy?
Whom Gods?
What was the plot? What was the plot of that one?
Yeah.
Oh, you know that GIF file that goes around where Captain Kirk is pounding on the floor?
Yes, I love that one.
That's in that.
Isn't that him where he gets it's not him. Someone takes over his body or something, or it's a clone of him or something. What's the deal?
It's Garth from somewhere. Anyway, the Insane Asylum episode.
Oh, okay, so it's Garth from somewhere. Got it. And then he takes over Kirk's body or something?
No, he's a shape changer person.
And he's another version of Kirk though. So there's two Kirks walking around the ship, right?
Not on the ship, but on the planet. There's a couple of Kirks. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, Garth Brooks starring in this fine episode all makes sense now. All right.
Garth of Izar. I like
Garth of
Izar. Garth of Izar.
Oh.
Where's the alligator shirt?
Garth of Izar. You're thinking of Izod. Garth of Izod would be great.
That'd be great.
All right. Daryl Skeels, everybody. The Trek Nerd on Twitter. This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, have a fantastic week.
Ga, ga, ga.
There you go. All right. Off he goes.
Ga, ga.
Ga, ga. A reminder, if you want to come see us in Vegas in April, you got to get your tickets, son. They are going fast. We're getting to that point where it's like, ooh, I don't know how many more of these we have. So if you're coming, please come. Go to vivatmsvegas.com, get your tickets. There's information about signing up for the Overwatch tournament we're having on Thursday. Brian is finalizing venue stuff for Friday.
And Saturday.
Saturday also, yeah. I like where that's going, by the way. I think it sounds right.
Oh, man. I have an idea I'll talk to you off the air about Saturday that Tina and I came up with over Mexican food on Saturday night that I just love.
All right. Lots of farting or something involved. Mexican
Lots
food.
Of farting.
Great.
Yes.
Good. So that's vivatmsvegas.com. If you have not yet done it, you can also find links at frogpants.com and on Twitter and everywhere else. And every show post that we do has a link to that site. So go get your tickets. Lock in your cool swag. There's a video helping explain things where you buy the tickets. If you want just the swag and you can't come, that's an option too. We've covered it all, man.
Mm-hmm. It's all there.
Get it going. All right. Quick email from Jeff May, who wrote in, says, fundraising with the wife or for the wife for a great cause. Hey, Scott and Brian, on March 13th this year, my beautiful wife will be shaving her head for the World's Greatest Shave, an event created to support the fight against leukemia and other blood-borne cancers. It would be mean a lot for us if you would share her donation page, and if any tadpoolers could spare a dollar for a great cause, that would be amazing. Thanks for everything you guys do. This is from Perth, Western Australia. Again, Jeff, and he sent this link. So write this link down, everybody. bit.ly/2sp8sne. I'll repeat it.
Yeah, plus caps matter in this.
Oh, do they matter on Bitly?
I think they do.
That's so dumb.
Here, I know.
I'm going to try it.
I would say, yeah, I'll copy and paste it in the chat room, but man, you know, have a memorable.
It's hard to. Bitly sucks if that's what they make you do. That's dumb. I hate that.
Yeah.
Also, Bitly's slow. Oh, there it is. Okay, I found it. You can also look for, let's see, leukemiafoundation.org has it there as well. So you can go find that. Go check it out. That's an awesome thing, I think. And she has a lot of really nice hair, and I'm going to be sad to see it go, but it's for a good cause. So go do that. Thanks again. And I'll repeat this, bit.ly/2SS8SNE. Oh, and that S is also lowercase. All right. That's the end of that. How about we do one of these deals? What are we doing here? Oh, yeah. We're going to play a mashup. Mashup 1655 through 1658. This is called Huge Hurricane. And I'll play it for you now. Brian, you ready for this?
I'm ready. Right. Oh, I'm ready.
All right.
Come on. Hey, come what's on. The matter with the head?
They want to go to Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
Nope, there's no N. No N. Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu.
Their topic today comes to us from TMS mashups. Can't speak today.
TMS
mashups, Monty Penny.
This is incorrect.
Like your Stone Temple Pilots and your Alice in Chains. Lord. Olaf Pooley.
What was his deal? What did he play?
Did he play a snowman?
He never liked the snow anyway.
Because your head is so massive, it would not fit a Burger King crown.
It's true.
Where are the drugs?
Yeah.
All right, put an X-Acto knife in his leg.
Brains.
Sucker, he's a friend. Sucker, bring a friend. Sucker.
I ran into a stop sign and my clothes fell off. I don't have my ID for obvious reasons.
Slippery
dick. Excuse me. Yes, sir. Your name is stupid. Bourbon chocolate cake honey bush. That was my stripper name in high school. I don't know if anyone knew that.
Just the honey bush, and then you added on those other names to.
Oh yeah, no, that was
for bigger tips.
That was later, right? In the beginning, it was just honey bush. I'd put that in my mouth.
Snap into a slim gym. Jeez. Step in. I've got the baton.
87.
Meet me halfway across the sky.
Oh no, hot soup on my genitals.
Huge. It's the biggest scorpion. Best scorpion.
A lot of scorpions have told me.
Yeah.
To get over here.
My favorite band is the Scorpions. I love scorpions.
They told me to rock. They rocked me. They rocked me like a hurricane. Quite obviously. Quite, you know.
Hurricane, global warming, total hoax.
A lot of scorpions out there.
Yeah. That might be my favorite Trump run we've done. That was a good one.
That was really funny, yeah.
Nice one, Jamie. Well done. Jamie at TMS Mashups on Twitter. Patreon.com/TMS Mashups. He does great work. And tomorrow, you'll get to hear me in the first clip-filled episode of Screams from my time with Outlast 2 so far. That's nice. A scary video.
I watched some of that. That's some scary stuff. I don't like those backwoods, you know,
religious
flannel wearing zombie dudes walking around with glowing eyes and pitchforks.
Yep. And there's all these like religious stuff in it, and it's freakish. It's real weird, that game. But we'll continue that tomorrow as well, live here on the stream. All right. Yes, Nick scared me in Outlast. He already did. He already came in there and got me. Kim got me real bad. Just people leave me alone when I play those games. So I'm put my headphones on and you all stay out of here. And not poke me while I'm in the middle of playing the scariest thing I've ever had on my computer. Okay? All right. Yes. Hey.
Right.
That's it for the show. Thanks, everybody. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support the show. We really appreciate those who do. Thanks to everybody who's switching over to the level that has the monthly tea selection. That's going great, and we're happy to see you guys over there. If you're not sure what we're talking about, previous episode we had Gwen on. We talked about these teas. Yesterday I ate, it was Thursday this morning. Well, this morning I had another one. It was called... it's one of the Thoroughly Dungeons teas, but it's a matcha tea, like super green tea.
Oh, love the matchas.
So good, dude.
I think I'm going to have a matcha this afternoon, as a matter of fact. As a matcha effect.
Just the right everything. It was so good. And all these berries in it. Oh, anyway, phoenixpearltea.com if you want to see all those selections. But big thanks to everybody who is supporting us on Patreon at that level. We appreciate it. We are at frogpants.com/TMS, where you'll find links to everything you need. You can contact us there. You can leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462, and lots of other stuff. So check those out. And now, I hand the baton back to Brian, where he will mispronounce a thing while he tells us about a song. Go.
That's correct. No, I'm leaving the baton with you. Right. Tim W. wrote in and said, it's my, quote, more than 3 years older than Scott and Brian birthday, unquote, on February 25th. That's today. I thought I'd take the opportunity to introduce the tadpole to this breathtaking performance by Sheila Atom of Bob Dylan's Tight Connection to My Heart in the musical Girl from the North Country. This production was staged in London in 2017, and Sheila Atom won an Olivier Award, which is the UK equivalent of a Tony, for her performance. Sheila Atom was recently announced as a member of the main cast in the upcoming Game of Thrones spinoff show, The Long Night, so you'll get to see her there. It might be pronounced Adam, Sheila Adam, or Sheila Atom, so who knows? Maybe I do have that baton. I don't know.
Mm.
Anyway, she's great. And the video, obviously you won't see the video when you hear the song. The video of her performance is worth looking up because it is really, really cool. However, the album came out in 2017. It was the Girl from the North Country soundtrack. Sheila Adam and the original London cast performing Bob Dylan's Tight Connection to My Heart.
Oh, all right. That'll do it. Thanks everybody for being here. See you soon.
And I couldn't with you around my neck. You said you'd send for him and you did. What did I expect? My hands are sweating and we haven't even started yet. I'll go along with the charade till I can think my way out. I know it was all a big joke, whatever it was about. Someday maybe I'll remember to forget. I'm gonna get my coat, I feel the breath of the storm. There's something I gotta do. Anybody see my love? Does anybody see my love? Does anybody see my love? I don't know.
Madame Butterfly, she lulled me to sleep.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
We also saw this dog with a banana.